I'm Tony Hendra.
And I'm Jeff Chrysler.
And this is the Final Edition Radio Hour.
30 minutes of sizzling satire with teeth.
Governor Romney, people say you really can't know the economic problems of average Americans.
I can, and I do. You know, my wife tells me what women are saying about the economy, and that's how I keep in touch.
Through your wife?
Sure. My whole family connects me to the American people. For instance, I know all about poor people because I've got a daughter-in-law who watches them through a telescope.
But are you getting...
I feel their pain.
But are you getting the most expert opinions by just talking to your family? What about, say, global warming?
Look, I've got a grandson. He's looking at CO2 emissions. He's 12. So we got him a box of dry ice, and he's just been going to town with it, putting it in the toilet.
And you're setting policy by this.
Absolutely. I'm a doer. You know, one of my sons just had a baby who's studying the European Common Market. And because of that baby, I'm going to have a policy ready for an equitable, long-term solvency arrangement with Greece.
Can I quote the baby?
Well, that'll be tricky. He doesn't have a name yet.
I'm old and bitter, and I vote.
It's time for the Final Edition Radio Hour's The Final Word. Tonight we hear from David Koch, who together with his brother Charles is the third richest man in the United States. Mr. Koch would like to put in a good word for our much-respected oligarchy.
Good evening. I'm David Koch. Some political commentators in the U.S., noting the wave of rebellions against the status quo sweeping across the world from the Middle East to Russia to the United Kingdom and elsewhere, have wondered about the possibility of similar peoples in the U.S., which could challenge the control of the country by us, its corporate oligarchy. Happily, this will never happen. Here in the U.S., the unemployed poor, working poor, and soon-to-be poor, a.k.a. the middle class, who constitute some 85% of its population, have been successfully convinced by our, let's call them messengers in the media, on television, on radio, and increasingly in the internet, that they too can become millionaires and multimillionaires on the same order as we oligarchs. Therefore, because they hope to avail themselves of it in the future, they support the openly corrupt system by which the oligarchy continues to enrich itself. Enriching it still further, the lower classes support policies to reduce or eliminate the, let's be frank, laughably minimal taxes paid by our members. They even support some moves by our hand-picked political representatives to eliminate government programs that might relieve them of their poverty, misery, and chronic stress by ensuring them the basic human rights to jobs, homes, education, and health care. Instead, they accept as their lot in life all-consuming worry about jobs, homes, education, and health care, leaving them no time or energy to investigate or fight for alternative ways of living. We call this system freedom. Amazingly, through incessant sentimental appeals to bogus patriotism, which we neither feel nor believe in, we have even convinced the poor that freedom is worth dying for. In short, the poor and middle class, rather than rebelling against the oligarchy, which, let's continue being frank and open here, is responsible for impoverishing them, cling to the cretinous fantasy that people who regard as their inalienable right amassing as much of the nation's wealth as they possibly can will somehow allow them to acquire wealth commensurate with their own. We call this massive delusion the American dream. Freedom and the American dream ensure that the ever poorer working and middle classes will never feel anger against us, but instead blame one another for their increasing misery and poverty. They are encouraged in this collective error by our aforementioned hand-picked political representatives and messengers in the media, dissipating into futile infighting and finger-pointing the righteous rage which is a prerequisite of true revolution. Revolution which could transform their lives, strip us of our admittedly ludicrous wealth, perhaps even imprison or execute some of us, is thus not only impossible in our system, But as the popular saying goes, who needs it? We've already had our revolution more than 200 years ago, and it didn't work. Thank you, the final edition, for this opportunity to reassure you that here in America, all is well.
David Koch is a corporate executive and effective owner of the David Koch Theater at Lincoln Center, formerly the property of the citizens of New York State.
It's time for Breaking Heads.
Oh! 72 dead, hundreds injured at NRA's first annual Quiet Shy Loner Convention.
Robot uprising thwarted by shortage of extension cords.
Majority of middle class willing to pay higher taxes as long as president gets back to being white.
This portion of the Final Edition Radio Hour is sponsored by the Non-Rational Rifle Association.
Wayne LaPierre is a murderer. That's what the media screech. Now they're even screeching that Wayne LaPierre is the man who's really responsible for Trayvon Martin's tragic death. Can you believe these people? We say our beloved executive VP is a legendary American. We say the 600,000 tragic gun deaths which have occurred on his watch are actually the greatest gift he could have given our great nation. Wayne says,
"The world is a tough place, and America is a tough country. A country whose constitution enshrines forever the inalienable right of every citizen to stand his ground and kill if he feels threatened. A country of tough, tough winners. People too stupid to carry guns to defend themselves or too weak to stand their ground if they do are, it's tough to say, but a tough country can take it, losers. Their tragic deaths prove that their lives had nothing to contribute to our great nation."
Remember, guns don't kill people. God kills people. Guns are God's way of eliminating the weak. Every gun death in America makes us stronger. Be glad, not sad, America, that somewhere in this great nation right now, another loser is eating lead.
The Non-Rational Rifle Association. We are America's lizard brain.
I'm old and bitter and armed. And I vote.
According to many conservative Christians, the Bible has been terribly distorted by its recent translations. The literal word of God has been corrupted into the liberal word of God. The son of celebrated Catholic anti-feminist and homophobe Phyllis Schlafly, Andrew Schlafly, who happens to be lead attorney in the attack on the Affordable Health Care Act, decided to do something about it. His aim? To snatch back the good book from those who would spend their worthless lives feeding the hungry, paying laborers a fair wage, and healing the sick without bankrupting them. You know, stuff Christ might have done. Andy and his righty buddies have now completed their version of the Bible, stripped of its socialistical and radical lib pollutants, and returned to the pristine state God, the patriarch creator of the unregulated universe, intended. The final edition has gotten hold of a copy of the Conserva Bible. Exclusively on the Final Edition Radio Hour, here is the first chapter, not of the Book of Genesis, of course, with its liberal overtones of rock and birth canals, but of the Book of Creation.
Chapter 1. In the beginning, God created dates, and the date was Monday, July 4th, 4004 B.C. And God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. And when there was light, God saw the date, that it was Monday, and he got down to work, for verily, he had a big job to do. And God made pottery shards, and Silurian mollusks, and Precambrian limestone strata, and flints, and Jurassic mastodon tusks, and Pinkenthopus erectus skulls, and Cretaceous placentals made he, and those cave paintings at Lascaux. And that was that for the first work day. And God saw that he had made many wondrous things, but that he had not wherein to put it all. And God said, Let the heavens be divided from the earth, and let us bury all of these things which we have made in the earth, but not too deep. And God buried all the things which he had made, and that was that. And the morning, and the evening, and the overtime were Tuesday. And God said, Let there be water, and let the dry land appear. And that was that. And God called the dry land real estate, and the water he called the sea. And in the land, and beneath it put he crude oil, grades 1 through 6. And natural gas put he thereunder, and prehistoric carboniferous forests yielding anthracite and other ligneous matter. And all these called he resources, and he made them abundant. And likewise, all that was in the sea, even unto 200 miles from the dry land, called he resources. All that was therein, like manganese nodules, for instance. And the morning unto the evening had been a long day, which he called Wednesday.
At a rally today in Carson City, Nevada, presumptive GOP presidential nominee Mitt Romney reaffirmed his general opposition to a constitutional right to privacy with one limited exception.
You have to look at the Founding Fathers' original intent. And frankly, the idea of privacy as a constitutional right just didn't exist then.
Yeah, that's right. They didn't have privacy. They were all in each other's business back then.
With, of course, a narrow exception for the financial and tax return information of Mormon former governors. That's not me talking. That's the Federalist Papers.
Oh, that was good. Oh, I like those.
What consenting adults do in the bedroom is too important for us to be cavalier about. But what a consenting adult does in the conference room of a bank in the Cayman Islands, that's between him and his many lawyers, accountants, financial planners, and lobbyists.
Romney also touted his position as economically beneficial.
Whenever you hire someone to lobby for a tax break, you're creating a job. If President Obama really cares about jobs, why hasn't he set up a series of shell corporations that would secretly lobby for him to get a lower tax rate than his secretary? Because he doesn't love America enough. That's why.
Nobody loves America enough! I am the only one who loves America!
White House spokesman Jay Carney was too busy dancing at a gay marriage to comment. It's time for Breaking Heads.
Oh!
New Jersey's top scientist warns women are developing resistance to Axe body spray.
Leg-humping dog thinks of itself as man's best friend with benefits.
Threesome devolves into twosome, onesome.
Good evening, and welcome to Alternative Child. You know, a lot of people have been taking a long, hard look at our school system, and after taking that look, they're saying, no thanks. That's not for me or my child. Tonight we have a man who's offering an alternative, the head of the Lombardi Institute, Dr. Howard Bear Barnes. Dr. Barnes, could you tell us about your school and what it has to offer?
Certainly, Lloyd. We're located on 520 wooded acres outside Fond du Lac, Wisconsin. We have live-in accommodations for 7,000 boys and girls from ages 2 years to 5 years.
Then you're dealing strictly with preschool children, is that correct?
That's correct. While being too young for elementary school, these children from ages 2 to 5 are not too young to begin physical development. Some people think that a child at 2 or 3 is too young for strenuous physical exercise. This is simply not true. I got 2 and 3-year-olds who can do 100-yard wind sprints all afternoon. I got 1 2-year-old that can do 5,000 sit-ups.
So the children are actually in training?
All the time. They eat at a training table, and each day they receive instructions for 8 hours, and they practice for 8 hours in football, basketball, track, swimming, hockey, karate, kung fu, and Thai boxing. At the age of 4, each child must pass a survival test. In this test, we drop them by parachute over the Sierra Nevada mountains with nothing but a Swiss Army knife. They must make their way in the woods for 20 days and walk 100 miles to Reno, where we pick them up.
What do you find is the biggest problem with kids this age?
I'd say knee injuries. Knee injuries and shoulder separations. There's still a lot we don't know about knee injuries. All we can do is operate when possible. Otherwise, we just tape it up.
What about the drug problem, Bear?
Well, we don't issue PEP pills or any kind of drugs to the children. We leave it up to their own discretion. We know that some of them use them, but we don't encourage it. We'll give them a painkiller now and then, but that's about all.
I see you brought along two of the children from the Institute.
Yes, this is Debbie Ferguson from Santa Clara, California. Debbie wants to be a dental hygienist, as Debbie puts it, to help people. Debbie is 4 years old, 2'7.5" tall, 120 pounds. She won a bronze medal in Munich, and last week she swam 200 miles upstream in the Columbia River.
Hi, Debbie.
This is Jimmy Dugan. Jimmy hails from Cottonmouth, Mississippi, and when he grows up, he wants to be a sharecropper, just like Dad. Jimmy is 3.5 years old. He stands 2'3", 185 pounds. He's got good speed. He does 109.3. Look at those calves, Lloyd. He's a good boy up front. He can go long. He's good deep. He'll get you inside. He'll get you outside, and he's tough on the option. He's a tough boy, likes to hit, and he's not afraid to get his uniform dirty. Jimmy's recovering from some hockey injuries. He took 105 stitches across his face, and he lost his left ear. He's a tough boy. He's a fierce competitor. He's got poise, confidence, and he wants to win. I think he's going to be one of the all-time greats. In spite of the injury, he's in top physical condition. If we might demonstrate this, Lloyd, I want you to haul off and punch Jimmy in the stomach just as hard as you can. Go on, just punch him.
Me? No, I couldn't do that. He's only a child.
Of course you can. He can take it really hard now. Come on, punch him.
Well, okay. Oh, did I hurt him? Is he all right?
He's not hurt. Come on, get up. Shake it off. Come on, crybaby, stand up. Lloyd, hit him again.
But he's crying.
Hit him again, I said. He can take it. Hit him.
Oh, all right.
I'm old and bitter and armed and overweight, and I vote.
Exclusively on the Final Edition Radio Hour, here is the first chapter from the Conserva Bible.
And God said, "Let the earth bring forth abundantly every moving creature I can think of, with or without backbones, with or without wings or feet, or fins or claws, vestigial limbs and all, right now, and let each one be of a separate species. For lo, I can make whatsoever I like, whensoever I like." And the earth brought forth abundantly all creatures, great and small, with and without backbones, with and without wings and feet and fins and claws, vestigial limbs and all, from bugs to brontosauruses. And God blessed them all, saying, "Be fruitful and multiply, and evolve not." And God looked upon the species he hath made, and saw that the earth was exceedingly crowded. And he said unto them, "Let each species compete for what it needed, for healthy competition is my law." And the species competeth amongst themselves, the cattle and the creeping things. And some madeth it, and some didn't. And the dogs ate the dinosaurs, and God was pleased. And God took the bones from the dinosaurs, and caused them to appear mighty old. And cast he them about the land and the sea. And he took every tiny creature that had not madeth it, and caused them to become fossils. And cast he them about likewise. And just to put matters beyond the valley of the shadow of a doubt, God created carbon dating. And this is the origin of species. And in the evening of the day, which was Thursday, God saw that he had put in another good day's work. And God said, "Let us make man in our image, after our likeness, which is tall and well formed and pale of hue. And let us also make monkeys, which resemble us not in any wise, but are short and ill formed and hairy." And God added, "Let man have dominion over the monkeys and the fowl of the air and every species, endangered or otherwise." So God created man in his own image. Tall and well-formed and pale of hue created he him, and nothing at all like the monkeys. And God said, "Behold, I have given you every herb bearing seed, which is upon the face of the earth, but ye shalt not smoke of it, lest it giveth you ideas. And to every beast of the earth, and every fowl of the air, I have given also every green herb, and to them it shall be for meat, but they shall be for you. And the Lord God your host suggesteth that the flesh of cattle goeth well with that of the fin and the claw. Thus shall serf be wedded unto turf. And God saw everything he had made, and he saw that it was very good. And God said, it just goes to show me what the private sector can accomplish. With a lot of fool regulations, this could have taken billions of years. And the evening of the fifth day, which had been the roughest day yet, God said, thank me it's Friday. And God made the weekend.
This has been a Final Edition Radio Hour exclusive excerpt from the Conserva Bible, one chapter from the Book of Creation, the literal Word of God, not the liberal Word of God. It's time for Breaking Heads.
Cochlear implants finally allow deaf man to hate Fran Drescher.
School bully cries, this is my passion, please don't let them take it away.
Bored academic erases memory to relearn everything.
Negotiations over Iran's nuclear program were thrown into chaos yesterday when Iranian President Mahmoud Ahmadinejad offered a dramatic proposal regarding Iran's mortal enemy, Israel. Ahmadinejad.
The international community seeks a compromise that allows Iran to protect its dignity and allow the hated Zionist state to continue to exist. So, I propose that should we ever develop a vast nuclear arsenal, which we have no intention of ever doing, ever, Iran will nuke just half of Israel. And to show we are reasonable people, we'll let Israel pick which half.
Ahmadinejad's proposal was sharply criticized by nearly all interested parties. Israeli Prime Minister Bibi Netanyahu.
Iran's so-called proposal is ridiculous. Jews are tough now. Has he never seen the movie Munich? Just for floating this compromise, I'm going to motorcycle assassinate 10 more of his scientists. And I don't mean half assassinate them.
Surprisingly, most leaders in the Arab world also condemned Iran's proposal. Syrian President Bashar al-Assad.
Syrians have disputed our border with Israel for over 60 years. The honor of destroying Israel should go to a state that really, truly appreciates it. Us. Heck, every time I bomb my own people, I always close my eyes and just wish they were Jewish.
Even the Iranian people, who can normally be counted on to be forced to support their president, expressed mixed feelings. Tehran filmmaker Abbas Kiarostami.
Please don't think the Iranian people are all anti-Israel, or even 50% anti-Israel. I'm just trying to make a movie about a taxi driver who wants to save his marriage. Don't print this or they'll come for me.
Other Iranians reacted to their president's proposal more positively. Cleric Amir Janadi.
In a perfect world, we would turn 85-90% of Israel into rubble. But it's not a perfect world, so let's look on the bright side. This will destroy more of Israel than anyone ever has ever destroyed. I'm an optimist. I never say a graveyard is half empty. It's half full.
The White House had no official response to the proposal, but the Final Edition has gotten a response from New York-based hedge fund manager Stephen Gulman.
I'm Jewish, but I don't let it define my politics, especially since our firm has taken a big position in chickpeas. If 50% of Israel is nuked, the next day we can make 60, 65 million on hummus futures alone. I say go for it, Mahmoud.
Facing the inevitable, Netanyahu tried to look at the bigger picture.
Look, whichever half of Israel they try to blow up, it is some reassurance to know that the other half will still have 35 to 200 nuclear weapons.
I'm old
and bitter, and armed, and overweight, and ignorant. And I vote.
The Final Edition Radio Hour is a production of The Final Edition, Satire with Teeth. For your fill of brilliant, cutting, outrageous articles, images, videos, and more, visit thefinaledition.com at least once a day. This episode was brought to you by actors Kevin Janis, Barry Lank, Darby Worley, and Two Shell, John Marshall, Jeff Chrysler, and Tony Hendra. The writers were Peter Kleiman, Jay Welch, Louis Grossberger, Mike Richards and Brian, Sean Kelly, Barry Lank, John Marshall, Roy Rivenberg, Jeff Chrysler, and Tony Hendra. Alternative Child is from the National Lampoon Radio Hour with John Belushi and Brian Doyle Murray. Our engineer is Greg Russ. The producers are Jeff Chrysler and Tony Hendra. The Final Edition Radio Hour is a production of the Final Edition LLC, copyright 2012.